Amen. The question I pray that you're pondering even now, why not tonight? You know, in the light of our sermons, you would think that the lost would be considering the hereafter. I do pray seriously that the lost around us would do just that tonight. Consider the hereafter. If you would like to turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation again in chapter 6. We're going to be actually covering the rest of chapter 6 from verse 9 through 17, then the whole of the chapter of 7. And we're only going to cover two seals tonight, but they're two important seals that need to be remembered and need to be pondered upon. The fifth and sixth seals that is being unrolled now. The Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth? White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Verse 12 says, at the opening of the sixth seal, "And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when it is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich man and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Chapter 7, verse 1 says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Issachar was sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Zebulun was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in her hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts which fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed with white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, again as we humbly come before Your throne, we come thanking You for the day which You've given us. What a wonderful morning we had. What a wonderful time we've already had in our prayer rooms. What a blessed time we are yet to have in the preaching of Thy Word. Lord, I thank You for the opening up of Thy Word unto us tonight. I pray, dear God, that the songs that have been sung in this sanctuary have been songs that have been able to bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, we praise You tonight. As we look at our great salvation, we know that the time is soon nearing when You're going to call us home. We thank You for that. We thank You, dear God, that we're not going to go through these awful times in which we have been studying. Dear God, tonight we have You to thank for that. We thank You, dear God, that You drew us unto Yourself when we were unlovable, yet You loved us. You gave Your Son for us. And Lord, we thank You for giving us the ability to believe and come to Thee in faith. Lord, I pray that You'll bless this service tonight. Help us, dear God, to deliver it in such a way that it is right, that it is needful, and that it is blessed. Lord, bless us tonight. Forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen. You know, actually, in these two chapters that we're going over tonight, we are seeing quite a great bit of information loaded on our papers tonight as we look at the Word of God. There's a lot of things happening here that a lot of times you never hear that is brought out in the sanctuary. And this is something that needs to be brought out, needs to be expounded upon and taught and preached. For it is a time that we will not know anything of as far as going through it, but it is something that is important for us to get a hold of. Something that we need to realize is going to take place in this world in which we now live. This world, as we talked of last week, is being primed. And folks, it is being primed for the takeover of Antichrist and the demons of the world. Now, all you got to do is just look at the end times. And you look at the scriptures that we're going over tonight, and you'll see exactly just that. We see tonight that this world is being primed for a takeover of all three systems of our economy tonight. We are looking at the religious system to be taken over. And folks, it's going to happen. Well, whether we like it or not, listen, it is going to happen one day soon. We look at it in the world today. We have individuals that we used to be very fond of that have moved into this ecumenical movement, and they're grasping at every straw, trying to get everybody in one little corner and one little pocket. We see it going on in all kinds of settings. We see it in the country settings, such as we are even here tonight. We see it in little churches such as ours. And we see it in the big cities where you see this ecumenical movement and you see all these different denominations coming together, and everybody's embracing each other, and everybody's embracing each other's beliefs and teachings. That's what's going to happen in the end time. Now, I want you to know that this one that comes on the scene, this Antichrist, listen, when he comes on the scene, he's going to have the answer to all the problems of the world.
He's going to have the problems to the religious world. He's going to enact this pact with Israel, and he's going to allow them to start having all these great functionings begin to take place again in Jerusalem. Listen, I want you to know tonight, the American people already we begin to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You see what's happening? I'm telling you, folks, it's getting set up for the end times. I mean, we are in the end of the age, and we are seeing with our very eyes the very onset of what's going to happen in the tribulation period. Now, I want you to know that the Antichrist is going to set up his reign. He's going to set it up in a religious order. He's going to calm all the religious tensions in the world today. You know that's what's going on today. That's the reason why there's so many movements trying to get the religious factions together to bring a so-called peace among the religions. Friend, there is never going to be that, and if you're truly one of God's people. We are to be a set aside and set apart people. We are not to join in federation with the world's denominations to try to appease those in power. We're not going to do it. We're not going to take part in that. And as a matter of fact, I was talking today, and you know what? I've made up my mind as the pastor of this church. We're not going to shut this church down. We're not going to shut this church down. There's provisions made that in each and every individual. Listen, if you want to come in, you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. More power to you. If you come in, you don't want to shake hands, that's fine. But listen, I'm not going to shut down these doors no more. This is the house of God. She's going to be open. Now we have assistance for the parking lot. You can listen on the radio or whatever, but this church will not be shut down on the orders of the government ever again. But I want you to know today that as we look in this situation of the religious order and the religious factions of the world, we need to understand that the Antichrist is going to make everything come together in so-called peace, and it will not be. You'll see in this world, in this religious order, not only you'll see the religious order take place, but you see an economic system begin to take place. We talked about this a little bit last week where there's going to be a one world currency. I mean, we are looking at that right now in this this European Federation that's been established. You're looking at this one world currency where the world's money system is all going to be in unison, and this trade will be able to be traded all over the world. That's being set up today, my friend. The economic world system is being set up today by the leaders that are going to be, in my opinion, are going to be fancying after the Antichrist. They're going to be jockeying for positions in power and government. Now listen, I want you to know something. There are also going to be that which, as we look out in this world today, in the governmental system that we now know. Listen, there's going to be this Antichrist that comes up. He's going to be a world leader, a world renowned leader in just a matter of moments. He's going to establish his authority and his authenticity with his speaking ability, and he's gonna calm the masses. I've got everything that you need. I've got it under control. What do you hear the government saying today to all? I mean, to all peoples. I mean, all governments. Leave it in our hands. We'll take care of you. I mean, that's what you see going on in all the world. That's the reason why today that I say that we, in this world today, the world is being primed for the takeover of Antichrist. Now, the Bible always teaches us that there are many Antichrists in the world today. Me and my son was talking today about an individual who is laying claim to the throne in England, saying he's the rightful heir to the throne, and the queen has no rightful heir to it. I mean, you see this going on. Not only is this man laying claim to the kingdom of Great Britain, but he is also make an announcement that he is going to be the Messiah of the world. This is a real man in this world in which we live today. Now, the Bible tells us there are many antichrists. An antichrist is one who comes in the name of Christ, but it is not Christ. Now, as we look at this scene tonight, we begin to look in chapter 6 and verse 9 down through this whole rest of this chapter. But in this fifth seal, the Bible says here, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robe were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren. Now, you know, get a hold of these two different individuals that were named there. The fellow servants and their brethren. That they should be killed as they were and should be fulfilled. Now, in a big fury of preaching last week, I said and I made a statement that I've got to retract and pull back on because I named two different individuals in one setting, and that's not the way it's going to be. Listen, the 144,000, and we're going to see in just a moment, are sealed and they are protected. They are going to be guaranteed that protection from God Almighty. Now, those that are going to be martyred are going to be those through the witness of the 144,000, you know, those virgin men that have come forth, and you know they're going to be preaching the glorious gospel throughout the whole world. Those two witnesses that are going to stand, and the reason why that these 144,000 are going to be saved, because the two witnesses that gave proof of the Word of God, the gospel message, they're going to be preaching the gospel. And then you're going to have the angel that flies all over the world with the everlasting gospel doing what? Presenting the glorious gospel to all who will listen. And in chapter 7, the Bible tells us of all the nations that are going to be saved under that great ministry. Now, the Bible tells us here that there's going to be one of the greatest worldwide missionary evangelistic missions that has ever been. You know, we look back at the times of the 1800s when there was a great religious revival went through America and all England and all these different places. History will tell us that none will compare to this great outreach, evangelistic outreach that's going to take place in the day yet coming. But as we look at these martyrs here, these ones that are now under the altar in heaven, we're looking at a group of individuals who had been martyred for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We look back through all time. We look through the dark ages there where there was millions and millions of Christians who were murdered, who were staked and quartered, who were put in thumb presses. I mean, I can go on and on and on, and we see many that were burned at the stake and many that had hot oil poured on them and laid out in the wilderness. All these were martyrs, my friend. They were martyrs who are going to yet be justified one day in a day yet coming. Now, as we look at this scripture, the Bible says that under the altar, those individuals are now crying out to God, how long, O Lord, will you not avenge our blood? And what is said? Just a little season longer. Wait just a little bit, but you have some fellow servants and your brethren. Mixed multitude of individuals that are yet to be martyred just like you were. That's going to happen during the tribulation period. There's going to be many thousands upon thousands and thousands and thousands that's going to be murdered under the duress of Satan. Under the calling of Antichrist and the demons of the world. Listen, there's coming a time upon this earth when all those that have trusted the Lord as their Savior, listen, they're going to be confounded with the pressures of the demons. They're going to be killed beyond measure. Listen, I want you to know tonight that as we stand here in this sanctuary, this time of Jacob's trouble that's mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, where it speaks about that very fact that Jacob's trouble is there. The conversion of the multitude of Jews will take place during this time period. And for the first time, their eyes will be opened to see the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And they will believe. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 30 and 31 speaks about that great fact, does it not? Listen, let's go back here for just a minute to Deuteronomy in chapter 4. And notice what is said here. In verse 30, the Bible says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which He sware unto them. Now, so first of all tonight, the fifth seal, the thing that goes forth is wait just a little longer. Again, here we see those who have and will die for the cause of Christ. Not only out of the family of the Jews, but also of the Gentile race. Believers who have and will die for Christ's sake, as we see in chapter 7 and verse 9, where the Bible says, And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, not just the Israelites, not just the Jewish nation, and all kindreds, and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Listen, these are martyrs killed during the times of all judgments, disease and dominating the unbelieving world. Listen, there will be a worldwide spread of persecution by Satan and his demons during this time of the final days. And during the final Antichrist that is to stand on this world scene. Jesus taught this identical thing in His Mount Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24, where the first four seals are described in Matthew chapter 24. The event that marks the middle of the tribulation and the setting up of the abomination of desolation does not occur until verse 15 of Matthew 24. So this persecution which Jesus speaks of here will begin in the first half of the tribulation and will escalate and get greater all the way through the second part of it. Here's the reason for such persecution. The reason why that the devil himself hates anything that is godly is because there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists, two witnesses, and the angel who flies through the sky with an everlasting gospel. Go with, if you will, to Revelation chapter 14 for just a moment in verse 6 and 7, and notice what it says here. In Revelation chapter 14, in verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and fountains and waters." Listen, I want you to know tonight that when all this takes place, God's people, the church here, is already going to be in heaven. We're not going to be on this world scene. We're not going to be in this place of desolation at that time. We're going to be in the everlasting heaven of heavens. And there we're going to be praising Him for all eternity. We're going to be praising Him because we've escaped the persecution of the devil himself, Satan, and the Antichrist. Listen, there's going to be many, though, that are not going to escape that. There's going to be many in that day who will not take the mark of the beast, and they're going to be martyred. But listen, as we said in this house tonight, and I look out over this congregation, and I look at the lost, and I look at the saved, I want you to know tonight that every lost person sitting in this house who has heard the Word of God time and time and time again will be among those people who will be out in the wilderness and looking at that false Antichrist and thinking He is Christ, and they're going to believe a lie, and they're going to be deceived, and they're going to be sadly cast into a lake of fire one day, because they're going to take the mark of the beast. You see, as he goes out and he makes his way and he makes his lie known, listen, every one of those people that thought they had it figured out, they're going to look at him and they're going to say, there's the Messiah. There's the real Messiah. The Bible says they're going to believe a lie and be damned. They're going to believe that lie of Antichrist. And they're going to begin to follow him. They're going to think they've got salvation. They're going to think all these good things about Antichrist. And he's going to turn on them in a day. Friend, I want you to know something. What we are dealing with here is not an easy thing to look at. It's not a pleasant thing to get a hold of. But understand that as the days approach, listen, you that are lost and undone need to know that there's a way of escape right now. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That way is only coming to Him and Him alone. Listen, right now on this side of eternity, while the church is still here, while the glorious gospel is still being preached in the house of God. Today, as we look out, there is a means and way of which we may escape the awful plague that's about to hit the world. Listen. John describes the martyrs as the first fruits of those saved throughout the time of tribulation. Those Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ that one day will be saved. But now as we look at the overwhelming fear that's about to strike upon this world scene. We read about this, and this is the sixth seal. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. Can you just imagine the scene now? Can you just imagine the scene? We have had a glimpse of what happens during a great volcano, haven't we? We have seen the ash clouds, how they cover and how they stop air traffic and everything, and how that the cloud that comes up out of that volcano brings about a darkness upon the earth. They're talking about a time when there'll be no planting and no growing. You're talking about a time of famine, a time of starvation on mass order. Listen, I want you to know that's what's going to be happening during this time. During this time of this great earthquake, it's going to strike this world. Listen, it's going to be so powerful that it's going to shake the earth off of its axis. And everything's going to be changed. The seasons, the temperatures, everything's going to go in chaos. During this great time of earthquake and this great time of tribulation upon the earth, listen, the Bible speaks about that great cloud that's going to come upon the earth and all the darkness, the cold spells that's going to come upon us. The stars of heaven falling to the earth. Folks, I want you to know something. This is yet to happen, but it will happen. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I'm talking about one of the most major events that this world has ever known. You know, they talk about the great earthquake that happened that supposedly took out the dinosaurs out west here. You know, that great volcano that erupted and the great cataclysmic earth shaking after that. And they're saying that even now she is just a boiling underneath this whole area. And it comes all the way, and it comes close to Kentucky even. Did you know that even as we sit here under our feet, the ground is shifting and moving every day? underneath us on this fault line, listen, that runs through Kentucky, we are seeing now more and more earthquakes in the state of Kentucky than we have ever seen. Listen, folks, the Bible speaks about the end times, don't it? There's going to be diverse earthquakes, and that means in different places, and places that are uncommon. That's what's happening even now in our world. Now, the Bible says there's going to be great fear that's going to come upon all the earth. And this fear is going to be so immense that men, not just men like you and I, the Bible says mighty men, chief men, captains, I'm talking about men in authority in the army, men in authority in all the military powers of the world. Men are going to be going into the mountains and begging for the rocks to fall on them. All men. Rich, poor, wealthy. Listen, those more powerful are going to be going into the rocks and the hills and crying for the earth to fall upon them. It says in verse 15 of chapter 6, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains, rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let me tell you something. No one will be able to stand in that day. Now, in chapter 7, as we have seen, there is a great range of this course here. And I want you to consider this now. These are the those that have sealed of the tribes of Israel and the Gentiles saved by believing in the witnessing of those that were professed Christ as Messiah. Now I want you to notice what it says here of all these that are sealed. And go down to verse 9 of chapter 7. We see the remnant of Israel that is sealed here, the 144,000. And verse 9, the Bible says, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. They weren't behind the throne. They weren't beside the throne. They were before the throne. They were in a place and position of service. Think about it. Just like the Levitical priesthood was, they were in a place of service before the throne. And what are they doing? They're working for the glory of the Lord day in and day out. Day out. Working for the praise and the honor and the glory of Almighty. They are before the throne of God to serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. It's just like the Levitical priesthood in the Bible speaks of, you know, how the Levitical priesthood, you know, the people, they took care of the priesthood. They took care of them. They made sure they had their food, they had their provisions, they had everything that they needed. Here, God is doing the same. He's taking care of them. He's making sure that they have everything that is needed for their service to the King. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into ever living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know, I often go to that scripture in Revelation 21:4. Well, the Bible speaks about the fact that God's going to wipe all the tears away one day. You know, as you think about these martyrs under the table, under the altar, most believe it was a representation of the brazen altar, for the altar of incense, because of the incense of the prayers that were going up before the throne of God constantly. But listen, think about it. All these individuals that had been martyred, all the individuals who had died for the name of Christ and for the glory of the gospel message, they cried out, Lord, how long? What did they cry? Holy. For Thou art holy.
And thy judgment is true. Tonight, as we look at this, and God says unto them, wait just a little longer. You've got some brothers. You've got some fellow servants that need to die the same death. They'll soon join you. You know, as we look at that and we think about the time to come that's just around the corner. We think about the martyr that's going to take place. The tremendous position of murders that's going to take place world over. All those who refuse to accept the mark of the beast. Listen, they're either going to starve to death because they can't buy or sell. Or they're going to be murdered. They're going to be put in a position where they have to choose. Recant or die. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to die for the glory of God. You know what I think about these sealed 144,000 who as the angel was held back and told the four angels were stopped as they were given leave to go into all the world with the chaos of everything. They were held at bay for just a little while till they got the 144,000 sealed. You can't touch nothing until we get them sealed. They got to be protected. They got to be cared for. Because they're going to be preaching the everlasting gospel to all who will hear. You know, God always has a way of presenting His gospel, does He not? It'll go on throughout all eternity. The gospel message is something that will be thriving forever and ever. You know why? I believe that once we're there, after the 1,000-year reign, after the new heaven and new earth began, I believe that everlasting gospel will be there to remind us, oh, how great it is to be saved by the grace of God. How wonderful and how wondrous it is that He called me by name. All because of His everlasting love. May God bless us is our prayer. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father. Dear God, as we humbly come before Your throne tonight, we do thank You for the day that You've given us. Lord, what a blessed thought it is to know that we're saved by Your marvelous and wonderful grace. Father, I pray for Thy Word tonight that You would bless and You would bring conscious thought to the lost around us. Lord, that they may realize that today is the day of their grace. And today is the day of their salvation, for they're not promised tomorrow. And Father, may it be so that they trust in Thee even tonight. Lord, bring about the salvation of the lost around us. May our sons and daughters and our loved ones, our acquaintances, may we all see them saved by Your marvelous grace. Now, Lord, I pray, bless the invitation. Save souls and save lives. And Lord, forgive us our sin in Christ's name. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.
Let's go to 362. 362.